Amen. Nearer, my God, to thee, besides being a hymn of the faith, was also a hymn that was made famous with the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. The band dispersed and then they came back together and they began to play that hymn of the faith as the ship, as the great liner began to go down. All right, God's amazing grace. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. If you have your place there, please say amen.
Amen.
Very good. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Notice he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, tonight we come before your mighty throne. Lord, with thankful hearts. Lord, I ask tonight that you'll reach down out of heaven and just touch this little vessel, Father, these lips of clay. Father, just move me out of the way and you just get in the way. Father, let this mouth and this voice proclaim your truth tonight. And Lord, I pray, Father, that everything said and done will be done for thy glory and for the uplifting of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the enlargement of your kingdom, and to turn sinners from their way, and to catch backsliders and help them back to the right path. And Lord, to encourage the saved tonight. Lord, I ask, Father, that all of our hearts and minds, Father, will be attuned to thee. And Lord, that you'll lead us and guide us, that we'll grow closer. Indeed, as the hymn said, nearer, my God, to thee. Lord, that's where we want to be. So close to you that nothing can get between us. So, Father, have your will in your way now be done. And we'll thank you, Lord, and we'll praise your name in the matchless and holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you stop and think about these different various words that we hear so many times inside of our Christian faith. So many times we come across words like salvation, mercy, grace, sanctification, etc. And we hear these words so very much that sometimes they become so familiar to us we don't even realize at times what they're saying or what they mean. But it is the word grace that has captured my attention this evening. Grace is something quite marvelous, something very amazing. Because grace, in the proper understanding of God's word, is getting something that I don't deserve. When you stop and think about what grace honestly truly is, it's receiving something I don't deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, has a meaning of not receiving or not getting what I do deserve. So that's something to stop and think about. Tonight, with God being our helper, we want to look at three things about God's amazing grace. So first of all, inside of the book of 2 Corinthians, we notice here that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read in verse 9, partly of the words of Jesus. And he said unto me, Paul speaking, he now quotes Jesus, saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So first of all, I want us to look at God's sufficient grace. You know, you may be going through something right now that has just, it's almost like it has exhausted every ounce of your patience. It seems like everywhere you've turned, there's been a roadblock. And you've been praying and praying and seeking God about it, and nothing has moved out of the way. And see, Paul, what he says in verse 7, we read, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And so basically what Paul's saying is that he was being used so much by God, and he was receiving so many different revelations from on high, that God saw fit to allow him to have what he said, a thorn in the flesh. And here he described this thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan. So one of the things you and I need to understand and comprehend is that just because we're saved, just because we are born again, does not exempt us from suffering. You know, some people think, okay, I'm saved, now I'm going to make all this big money, I'm going to have a nice house, I'm going to have a fine car, I'm going to have a perfect family, and everything's just going to fall into place, and all my ducks are going to be in a row, and I'm just going to have a wonderful life. Well, let me tell you something. You can have a wonderful life, but it doesn't mean that the blessing of God is actually all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to bless you in all these different ways materially upon the earth. Many of our treasures, truth be told, are actually in our mansion in heaven waiting for us up there rather than stored down here. Jesus actually admonishes us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where rust cannot get to, moths and corruption cannot see, and also robbers cannot break through and steal. So a lot of believers tonight are actually storing up more treasures down here than they are up there. And the pitiful thing for us is that too many times we are feeling more at home in the world than we should be up in heaven above. God help us, my dearly beloved. And so what Paul says here is that this messenger of Satan came to buffet him. Buffet means to, if you will, shadow box. It means to box, essentially. So to buffet something about means to box at it or punch it. And so here he says that this thorn in the flesh came to buffet him, to strike him. And he was suffering so much, he says, that he begged God, he prayed to God and pleaded with God that God would take this thorn in the flesh away. And he prayed not once, not twice, but three times. And in the midst of these prayers, we see in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And then Jesus responds to him and he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Notice that. My grace is sufficient. Whenever you see the understanding of sufficiency, sufficient means enough. Sufficient means that no more, no less, but just the right amount. You remember, it's like Goldilocks, you know, she tried to find the chair to sit in, and one was too big, one was too small, and the other one was just right. She tried to eat the porridge, one was too hot, one was too cold, the other one was just right. Then she got sleepy, so she took a Baptist nap, and one bed was too big, one bed was too small, the other one was just right, or either it was too hard or too soft, and the other one was just right. And it's been a long time since I read that. And so anyway, that's the thing about it. So, you know, that's what God telling you, that the grace that Jesus has given to you and I, he says it is sufficient. It's just right for what we need. And here, Paul says the suffering that he was going through, Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so, in other words, whatever God is giving to us that we don't deserve, that is enough for you and I. And you know what? It may be money. It may not be money. It might be a helping hand. It might be a calming, comforting voice on the telephone. It might be an email that somebody sends out. It might be a text message that comes. It might be a visitor that swings by your place. You don't know. But whatever it is, if it helps you out and you know that it's from God, it well there understood to be sufficient for you, because it is God's sufficient grace. What a blessing, beloved. And so sometimes when God answers that prayer, it may not be to send physical healing. It may not be to raise that person up and give them that good strength that they used to have years before. But what we see here, he says, for my strength is made perfect. That word perfect there doesn't mean without flaw. It means complete. So he says, my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Why is our strength made complete in our physiological weakness? You know why? Because it is at that moment as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that I am totally dependent upon the strength my Lord Jesus Christ gives unto me at that moment and enables me to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So folks, that's the thing about it. You cannot beat your chest and say, look what I have done. Look what my strength and my vitality has enabled me to do. But rather, we point to our Lord and we say, that's who has helped me do everything I've been able to do. When someone loses their spouse, they are able to make it through. How? Because Jesus' grace is sufficient for them. When they've lost their job and they're trying to make ends meet, the reason you're able to meet whatever ends tie together and meet, it is only because Jesus' grace is sufficient for you. If you are out there and you're trying to feed yourself, you might get handouts, you might have a ministry give you a pounding, it might be folks that'll gather up money from the workplace, but whatever it is, it may not be what you want, it might not be a steak, it might not even be no meat on the plate, but you know what? It's going to be something that'll sustain you, because the Bible testifies that there has never once been a time when they've seen the righteous begging bread. God says, I know you have needs of these. If you seek first the righteousness of God and His kingdom, then what does He promise? He promises that He's going to clothe us. He promises He's going to feed us. He promises He's going to take care of our needs. That is the sufficiency of God's grace. It is giving us what we don't deserve. The sufficiency of grace. So part of God's amazing grace, beloved, is the fact that we have God's sufficient grace. That no matter if you're living high on the hog or else you're inside of the hog trough, if you've got perfect health or your health is compromised, it doesn't matter if you are wealthy or if you're poor. It doesn't matter what your situation is inside of this life. Through it all, through thick and thin, through high and low, through whatever, for better, for worse, God's grace is sufficient for everything we need. So because we don't deserve it, but God gives it to us, because God promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. And so if God is next to us in our crisis, God will give us what we need for that crisis. If God sees us and we're being blessed, then God has given us the blessing to get us through that time of joy. My beloved, whatever it is that you and I have received throughout whatever season of life that we go through as believers, as lost, whatever it may be, God's grace has been doled out and it's been sitting there throughout the whole time. It's kind of like, if you will, in certain old video games. I remember like Mario Brothers. You remember your little bitty teeny weeny thing and you can't hardly see yourself on the screen. Maybe your eyes were better than mine. And so then you're bopping along and then you see that question mark and boop, you bop it, and then out comes a mushroom. And so you eat the mushroom and then it makes you bigger. So just at that time when all the bad guys were coming and you could lose your life, you get that mushroom. It was already there waiting on you. You notice that? The game designer put it in there at that moment. And then you go down later and then you hit another one and there's a multicolored star. You get that and now you're able to run through all the bad guys and they can't hurt you for an amount of time. And then you can bop another block and then you'll get that little flower that'll make you spit out fireballs. I wish sometimes I could have that. But anyway, and so that's the thing. The game designers put all them things in there at the right time so you could have that power to help you win the game. Well, you know what? That's kind of like what God did. God designed a path for your life and mine. It's called the will of God. And if you and I stay inside that will of God, God's put something right here that you need. God's put something right there that you need. God's put something over here that you need at the right time. You didn't have to beg God to move it. You know why? Because you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And God decided to put it right there. He decided to put you a little block right there. If you're in His will, you can grab it and use it. And you know what? You can get past the bad guys. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe y'all ain't Mario nerds like I would. But woo! Glory to God. That's good. And so there's another thing we need to look at about God's grace. And that is God's saving grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is well known to you, the Bible says in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's throw in verse 10 here as well. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Folks, let me tell you something about this. One of the most crowning achievements that God ever did was to put down the means and the method for saving a lost sinner like me and you. You know, we don't deserve that. We deserve wrath. We deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire. Folks, I want you to stop and think about that. When the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's amazing to me. While we were arch enemies of God, while we were enemies of the cross, while we were out in sin and cursing God and living in sin and doing everything we could against God, God sent his only begotten Son, born of a woman, to pay for our mess, to clean up our mess, to shed his blood so that we could have a chance to be redeemed from going to the pit of hell that we deserve, so that we would not have to go and be thrown alive into the lake of fire, which we deserve. We would be the ones out there blaspheming the name of God. We would be the ones out there opposing the will and plan of God. We would be the ones out there saying that Jesus did not belong in our lives, but God loved us besides. God cared about man. God cared about every one of us that would ever be born. And he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. And that's amazing, because we see here that it is by grace. In other words, it is through the agency of the understanding that we do not deserve this, and we don't deserve anything that God has given to us. But you know what, folks? Tonight I have a church family. Why? Because of the grace of God. I don't deserve it, but God gave me a church family. God saw fit to let me be born to two Christian, God-fearing parents. God didn't have to do that. I didn't deserve that, but he blessed me with that. God blessed me with a loving wife. He didn't have to give me a loving wife. He could have given me a woman treading a pit of Hades. But you know what? He didn't do that. He saw fit to put somebody by my side who would stand by my side and support her husband and support this church. God, that is God's grace, if you ask me. Folks, let me tell you something else. When I was in sin, God gave me every breath of air I ever breathed out of his air. I didn't deserve it. God gave it to me. God provided me with clothes to wear. He could have let me be in a box. He could have let me wear a barrel. He could have let me go out and dig through trash and put on some old rag and try to wrap my feet with newspaper or something like that. But I didn't deserve these. God blessed me with that. God didn't have to put me inside of a house. I could be laying out shivering on the ground somewhere out there trying to make warmth with a bunch of newspaper and old rags and stuff that people thrown away. But by the grace of God, I've got a warm bed, I've got pillows, I've got covers, and I've got the ability to have heat in my house tonight. All by the grace of God, if you ask me. That's amazing. That's a blessing. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. When you start getting down in the dump and you start whining and mewing because you ain't got this and you ain't got that because somebody else does, or your neighbor does, or your friend does, then you need to remember about the grace of God that God gave you and I as a lowly, stinking varmint of a wretch that deserved the pit of hell, that deserved the lake of fire, that deserved nothing but the wrath and judgment of a holy God in heaven. He gave us every blessing we've ever had, even when we were lost and undone on our way to split hell wide open. Amen. Somebody say amen out there. I don't know about y'all, but that God's saving grace, that's something to work us up as Baptists and to elicit from our throat an amen and a hallelujah and glory to God Almighty. It's the gift of God. None of us in this room can beat our chest and say that God needed us for his plan. God didn't need a single one of us. Me, preacher or not, David, deacon or not, God don't need any one of us. He don't need any little helpers out there running around. You know why? Because he's God, and he's big enough to handle all this thing by himself. But praise be to God, God saved us, a bunch of wretches bound for the pit of hell, and He's used every one of you in this congregation, every one of you out there watching online, He's used every one of us in some way, shape, or form for His glory. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? He says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no way, shape, or form that any of us can point back to the saving grace that God bestowed on us and say, look at what I did. None of us can say that. It is all by the agency and by the means of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But then there's something else we need to observe, and that's Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I told y'all to hang on. God had a new route and a new way for me to preach tonight, so I'm just trying to obey the Lord. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So folks, we've seen already tonight, what are some things that make God's amazing grace so amazing? We found, number one, that God's sufficient grace is just what it said, is sufficient. That's what's amazing about it, because no matter where I am, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm going through, God's grace is sufficient for me. We found, number two, one of the most amazing things about grace is that we find God's saving grace. That it is not deserving. We don't earn it. There's no reason why we should have it. There's no reason, there's no possible fundamental explanation why you and I should have a mansion in heaven. There's no explanation theologically why, because it doesn't make sense, why God should have to die for sinful man and clean up a mess He didn't make to begin with. But it is all because of grace. He loved us enough that He gave us this that we did not deserve. And then thirdly, we find God's seat of grace. It's like the fountainhead where we find the grace of God coming out of. And we find that He tells us that we should come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, let me tell you something. There's one thing tonight that the devil cannot stand. And one thing the devil cannot stand is the blood of the Lamb of God. I tell you what, there are so many churches and denominations and even so-called Christians out here today that are offended by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a little something about the blood. There's power in the blood of the Lamb of God. That blood keeps the angel of death at bay for you and I, because the blood takes away the sin, takes away the sting of sin out of death, that we need not fear death. Death comes as a welcoming angel, because all He does is He opens up a door, and that door leads straight over into home. That's the amazing thing about that. The lost man, he has every right to fear death and to be scared out of his mind, because death to him is the great unknown. But I've got a map right here that shows me I need not fear death at all, because behind death's door is Jesus Christ. When they got Stephen out there outside the city of Jerusalem and they were throwing rocks at him, stoning him to death, oh, what did Stephen do? He looked up, and when he looked up, he saw Jesus standing waiting on him. He was about to die, and right there he looked up and he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And He forgave his enemies even as he was in the throes of death itself. And what did he see? He saw Jesus. Oh, Lazarus, the beggar. And what did he do? He looked over and he saw a band of angels. A band of angels. An escort coming for him to take him to Abraham's bosom. Hey, if an Old Testament saint got a caravan of angels coming to take him down into Abraham's bosom, bless God, you better believe God's going to roll out the carpet and send out a contingent of angels to take His child home to heaven. And Jesus Christ is going to be standing ready to welcome us in to the pearly gates. Glory be to God. Folks, I'm telling you right now, God's seat of grace, His throne, is a place where there is blessing, where there is power, and the blood of the Lamb of God is in view. That every time that I mess up, every time I fall and I fail Him, all I've got to do is boldly go to the seat of where grace is. Because if I got it to me while I was a sinner and undone and an enemy of the cross, you better believe I'm going to have it while I'm a child, a son of God, and His child down here being buffeted about by the enemy. I've got access to that grace. I've got access to mercy tonight because of the seat of grace right there, to the throne of grace where Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. Somebody say amen out there. I don't know about you, but that's why grace is so amazing. I was hell-bound, but now I'm heaven-bound. Why? Because of grace. I got blood tonight that I can apply upon my sins because Jesus' blood takes away our sin. I've got the blood tonight to report victory tonight. I have victory in Jesus Christ. I need not fear death, hell, or the grave. I can't go to hell if I wanted to. Why? Because Jesus has got the keys. And I'm going to where Jesus is. Why? Because of grace. Grace, grace, grace. It's a gift. I received it. That's why I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, my dearly beloved. It ain't because of who I am. It ain't because I'm a preacher. It's because of the grace of God. That's why. Phew. I don't know if y'all are awake out there, but I'm telling you, God's amazing grace is just wow. It's amazing to be redundant. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is a saving grace. And God's grace is where the seat is, and that is His holy throne. So no matter what shape you're in, if you're ready to give some hallelujahs and thank you, you can go to the seat, to the throne of grace. And say, Father, I just wanted to thank you. Whether you're going through a deep, dark valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You can go to the throne of grace and tell God all about it. You remember that little old song, David, if you'll come. You remember that little old song, you can say, just a little talk with Jesus. You can go to the seat of grace and have a little talk with the Lord all about it. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, we are told right there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we are told to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you tonight that there is no other place where we can find the true, undiluted, and powerful, amazing grace of God because it is in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. You can go to Buddha and you can't find grace. You go to Mohammed, you can't find grace. You go to Joseph Smith, you can't find grace. You go to the Pope, you can't find grace. Let me tell you something else. You go to the Methodist preacher, you can't find grace. You go to the Baptist preacher, you can't find grace. You know why? Because grace is found in Jesus Christ. If you got any grace out of any person down on here on this earth, you know why? It's because we give out and we reflect out the grace of Jesus Christ. It ain't my grace, it's Jesus' grace. That's where you're going to find that grace. And you know what, folks? We need to exercise that grace because what? Grace is getting what I don't deserve. When somebody does something to us, you know what? We need to automatically give them forgiveness. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you know what? I may not. I may not know the pain. I may not know the suffering. But I do know this, that if Jesus forgave me of all the pain I caused Him and all the suffering I caused Him and everything He paid for me, and He didn't need to do it, but He did it because of grace. He did it because of love. He did it because of mercy. You know what I need to do since I've received that? I need to give that grace to somebody that don't deserve it. Because that's one way they're going to see the love of God. That's one way they're going to see Jesus Christ. That's one way they're going to know that they know that, hey, this Christian stuff is the real McCoy.
Amen.
Because of grace. Oh, but they don't deserve it. Well, hello, look in the mirror.
Yes,
I don't deserve it either. You have to think about it. We love receiving it, but we don't like giving it out. I tell you, folks, we need to make sure we're at the seat of grace. I need to get as much grace as I can, not just for myself, because it's overflowing. But I need to get it so I can give it out to somebody else. Praise the Lord. Well, God said, you're done now. I said, okay, Lord. I told y'all to hang on tonight. Like I say, God started pouring out all that out on me. And I said, is that for tonight? Is that for next Sunday? Is that for, I don't know. He said, tonight. I said, yes, sir. I said, but what if it's three or four? He said, you preach it anyway. I don't care how many is there. You give it out. Yes, sir. Somebody need to hear this. I know I did. Praise the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I know I did. I needed it tonight. So tonight, I hope and pray you got some help this evening. That as you go out this week, no matter what you're going through, stand strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that then you'll realize throughout this week that no matter your high or your low, whatever it is in your life, whether you've got enough money in the bank or whatever you don't, God's grace is sufficient. Right. And then as you move along, you'll be reminded about that saving grace of God, and hopefully you'll be reminded to take a gospel tract and give that saving grace out to somebody out there else that needs it. And then also be reminded, too, that no matter where we're going or what we're doing, you can always approach the throne, the seat of God's grace, and get a little bit more, get a fill up. Imagine it like a gas station, like a grace station. You got to start, your grace is getting a little low. You're starting to get a little bit bitter. You're starting to get a little bit ill. You're starting to get a little bit in the flesh. Well, guess what? You need to go over and get some more grace. It's like you go to the grocery store and you get a can of soup and you get a loaf of bread and you get a gallon of milk. Praise God, you better get it before it goes up again in price. And then you know what? You just need to go on over to the seat of grace and get you a little bit more grace. So you can have it for today and give some out to somebody on life's journey tomorrow. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the grace. Ain't it so amazing? Glory, hallelujah. Well, tonight, if God spoke to your heart about anything, any shape or form, whatever it might be, there's room at the old altar right here, or you can pray right where you sit tonight. We'll go kill the live feed and turn our microphone off so that you can have privacy tonight wherever you come or wherever you sit as David plays an invitational hymn.